Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
So I like to work out at lunchtime and I go to church and I'm like, I don't care.
I know. I almost made the headline of my post, Boring White Man Becomes Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on Bachelor in Paradise and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love Bachelor in Paradise or love to hate it, we'll decode what this reality show reveals about the world of dating, hooking up in the ocean, and semi-open relationships.
I'm Emma Gray, Senior Women's Editor.
And I'm Claire Fallon, Culture Writer.
Thanks for tuning in to our fourth Paradise recap. This week, we'll discuss JJ's superhero name, Joe's slow-motion nervous breakdown, and when Jade and Tanner, otherwise known as Janner, are getting married.
We'll also talk about the new Bachelor, and sorry, the real new Bachelor, and why Chris Harrison hates us.
And this week, we're joined by Kristen Baldwin, the editor-in-chief of Yahoo TV. Thanks for joining us, Kristen.
Thanks for having me.
And now, let's just dive right in. Paradise.
All 4 hours.
All 4 hours.
Does anyone remember what happened at the beginning of this week's marathon?
Was that the crab montage?
Yes. That was a crab invasion.
I feel like that's such a beautiful visual metaphor.
They're always really great at using wildlife shots to like evoke the mood.
Yes, exactly.
And the crabs have been really pervasive this season.
It's not a great advertisement for that resort.
No,
like,
it's really
basically overrun with crabs.
And apparently raccoons and birds.
Yeah.
I think to be fair to the resort, I'm guessing that the producers just shipped all of the animals in.
It's possible.
And then I think we get finally the conclusion of JJ and Joe's fight.
Right. Just pretty anticlimactic.
It was a non-fight.
Yeah, it was a non-fight, as we predicted last week.
I don't believe anyone has ever really come to blows on this show, on any version of this show, which is too bad. But, you know, you got to hand it to JJ for standing up to Joe, who is probably, what, 1.5 times his size?
I believe JJ would have done it because I've met hockey players. Mm-hmm. They will fight over anything. It's like recreational.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll do it. But Jared was too delicate
Jared
to watch.
Jared was such a little wuss, though.
Like,
could you
please
see? He was practically peeing his pants. He was so scared of Joe.
I think Jared is afraid of all forms of conflict.
Yeah. I think that's possible. But the way he, you know, he's so afraid of Joe, it's like, you know, kind of sad for him. But anyway, yes, Jared did quell the conflict.
Yeah, he was like, do it for me, man. Like, if you're not going to do it for Joe.
Do it for Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, it was so sweet. I feel like Jared needs, like, a strong woman who will, like, protect him like a little baby bird.
I feel like he needs a razor. He, you know.
His facial hair.
It was good on Mental All.
It was really good.
And then it's just gone wrong again.
I feel like it's like when everyone is telling a guy that he needs to get better haircuts. And they're like, yeah, okay, totally. I believe you. But they secretly think that their hair looks really great when they grow it out to like just that weird jaw length. Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jared's, once you get the level of, you know, social media feedback that I suspect Jared has about your hair, you should maybe adjust.
Right. Like, I see all the women come in and they've fixed everything. They
Absolutely.
Have new teeth, they have new eyebrows, they have new hair, and new, like, makeup routines.
Absolutely.
Well, let's be honest. Women in general are far better put together and just more attractive.
Yeah, and far more insecure, which fuels the
right. Men are like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. And poor Dan came in to After Paradise last night with, like, people were calling it the Miley Cyrus haircut.
I'm sorry, they all have the same haircut.
What is that
Joe
about?
Joe readjusted to look more like Dan.
Yeah, they all have that haircut now.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I call it the Premier League haircut.
Yeah.
Because everyone in the Premier League has that haircut. But I don't think that it stems from that. I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah,
maybe they just thought Sean looked really good.
And so they wanted
that. They were like, well, he
found it. It worked for him, yeah.
Yeah, and Jeff Holm had that haircut before it was cool.
1F. 1F Jeff. Cute little hipster.
Loved him.
Me too.
Skateboards.
But, like, after they broke up, I was like, ugh.
I mean, all these people are dead to me after they after the show ends.
After the show ends.
I kind of just don't need to see them in their natural environment.
Oh, no, they're no longer relevant.
Yeah.
So getting back to JJ and Joe, I would just like to point out that after Jared forces JJ not to beat up Joe, Joe goes to Jorge the bartender and says, I totally made him my bitch.
Aww,
that's just how I see it.
That's Joe's go-to. He feels like the whole world's his bitch.
Everyone's his bitch.
I'm just waiting.
Everyone's pimp.
I'm waiting for him to tell Twitter that he made the audience his bitch after last night, but he's behaving so far.
I mean, somebody has to give Jorge Hazard pay for, like, you know, or workers' comp or something for all the just
talking so many people off the ledge.
He has to listen to all these morons.
He must be the most patient man on earth.
Or he maybe just doesn't necessarily understand a ton of English, so it's all like, wah, 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 wah.
Or he's wasted.
Oh, not Jorge. He keeps it professional.
Maybe. I don't know. Isn't it sort of like part of the job when you're, I've never been a bartender,
like, Jorge,
guys.
Take a shot with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I love Jorge. I'm glad he's in the opening credits.
Yeah,
that was a great addition.
So we get to the rose ceremony
right
early in the episode because
and we won't have another one for like 2 weeks.
God knows when. There's a lot happening other than rose ceremonies, you know. So the rose ceremony was a little strange because,
well, first we have the cocktail party where we continue to hear about this Joe and Sam saga.
Right.
Just this
Julia's on the chopping block because of Sam and Joe. Ashley S. is on the chopping block because of Dan dumping her. And Claire, obviously, has, like, not been making an effort.
Right. She's not here to play games.
No.
She's here for a connection.
She was here to find love.
And it didn't happen. And then she stayed, but then was seen on camera, like, twice.
Yeah. And Joe tried to make the case that he had only liked one of Samantha's photos on Instagram once, and that was it, and, you know.
Oh, gosh.
So, but nobody was buying it.
That's the thing, is that they then want to be like, believe us, we would never tell a lie except for all of those lies that we told before that we're now admitting were untrue.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that Tanner continues to narrate the whole situation.
Yeah.
He seems to have, you know, real insight into all of the
Why
texts.
Do people keep telling Tanner stuff? Because we know that he will tell everyone. They're like, hey, buddy, let's see this, like, screen cap of, like, a text that she sent me saying that, like, she wants me to screw over her best friend to be with me. And it's like, dude, Tanner is going to tell the entire world.
Although he wouldn't tell the group. Why didn't he just say, I saw the screen, you know, I saw the text message?
I don't know.
I think he did eventually tell at least Jared and JJ.
He did, but
there was a lot of muttering amongst each other, but nothing.
He never told Sam. When Sam was like, that's not true. He could have just said, you know, I know you're lying. I saw it, but he just kind of walked away.
No, maybe he was like, producer, can we go talk about this?
Yeah.
I have some things
to say. Thoughts.
I have some truth for America. So at this point, like, JJ wants to give his rose to Julia, even though he just went on a date with Megan because he feels so bad.
Julia was like, no.
No,
I'm here for real love.
I don't want your pity.
Yeah. She's like, how dare you? But then she's like, I have another idea. So she goes to Chris Harrison and is like, I feel like I made the wrong choice last week. So I'd like to bring back Mikey and just stay.
I love that everyone goes to Chris Harrison as though it's him who's really the one who's going to make something happen. And Chris is like, let me think about it. I'll wave my magic wand. Also, did Mikey never leave Paradise? What happened?
No, I think he was just sitting in a bush. Like a motel off the side of the road in Mexico.
Until they called him back.
Waiting for a call.
He was like, surely there will be a woman who will need me back there. So, rose ceremony. Pretty standard for the most part. Carly Kirk,
Josh Tenley, Jared, Ashley I,
Jade Tanner, Samantha and Joe, Amber and Dan.
And then, Dan gives his to Amber. Yes.
And then he's like the bad guy because
he didn't give it to Julia.
Yeah.
Right. He deliberates about this. Apparently, he and Carly are best friends because he pulls her aside to get her insights. But before we get to that, we have probably the greatest moment on this week's two episodes. JJ's American hero send-off, as I like to call it.
I just envisioned him like studying like classic war movies and drafting his speech just over and over again, being like, no, that line. That's
well,
one.
What
I
else
must
do you
borrow.
Have to do in Paradise?
Exactly.
I mean, that's true.
Fight off
we know crabs. He brought a book, so it was
true.
Probably like great military speeches of history.
Patton's rules for making a great exit.
So JJ gives his rose to Ashley S., even though he has this nice date with Megan, and everyone is just shocked.
What? Ashley S. looks so confused.
I know.
She's like, thank you.
So happy, though, because I love her.
I love her.
More Ashley S. is a good thing.
Whatever it takes to keep her on the show.
Exactly.
Whatever it takes.
And so JJ then is like, here's the thing. I came here leaving behind a woman who I had real feelings for. And the longer I stayed, the more profoundly I felt that I had made a mistake. And just like on and on.
Yeah.
It's like I didn't find love on Bachelor in Paradise. I found myself.
I wonder if that girlfriend lives in Canada. You know, it's like one of those things where
it doesn't even matter where she lives because we'll never find out who she is because they did not get back together.
No.
Right. He's like, unfortunately, I didn't get the girl.
Oh,
poor JJ.
He did get the adoration of Bachelor Nation.
And what did he say? He said something like, all these girls think I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And that excites me.
I'm awesome. Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
I mean, that's a good, you know, he did go from zero to hero to use.
Yeah. And also all of the women on Bachelor in Paradise do think he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Carly said it. I don't know how he pulled it off.
Yeah, she's
you know?
Like, normally we would have been so angry had someone said, I need to go back to someone at home. But she's like, but for some reason in this situation, we're like,
yeah.
You do you, JJ. We love you.
Props to you.
I thought it was very Good Will Hunting. Like, I've got to go see about a girl.
It was.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Sometimes there will be something that is just like nagging at me, bothering me about something in my life, and I just swirl it around and around and around in my head and don't quite know how to address it. And something that can really help me sort that through and like take action is therapy.
I completely agree. I've been really stressed lately because I've just been getting sick over and over again. And before I know it, I'm feeling a lot of emotions and I don't even connect where they're coming from with the actual origin. We all carry around these stressors, right? And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a great safe space to get things off of your chest and figure out how to actually work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue, to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
I am so glad that it's finally warming up. And it also means that I just want to have fun this summer and I don't want to be worrying about meal prep. And luckily, I can do something about that with Factor, especially because they have so many meal options like protein plus, keto, vegetarian, something for every diet.
Their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals.
With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore.
Make your whole day delicious. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with easy, nutritious options.
I love having a few Factor meals just sitting in my fridge, especially because I work from home. It's so nice to finish up a taping and not have to figure out what to cook myself. Just look in my fridge and be like, oh, in 2 minutes, I can be eating mushroom chicken thighs and wild rice or tomato basil chicken risotto or Santa Fe style green chili beef skillet. And they always have a nice like vegetable side. It feels well balanced. I feel full after, and it's not a headache at all.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
Oh, I'm so happy the weather is finally turning. If you, like me, have been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune, then Quince is for you. You can build up a lineup of timeless pieces that will keep you looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings right on to you.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, as well as premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince for all these staples. I mean, linen is my favorite summer fabric. They have so many amazing linen staples. I also found my new go-to, like, summer running around to the playground in the coffee shop bag. It's the pebbled Italian leather. Ooh. Front sling bag. I can just fit a wallet and my phone and my AirPods in it, maybe some lip balm. Absolutely perfect. I'm so obsessed with it. And the price was exactly what I wanted to.
Get warm weather ready with Quince.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while or even not that long knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck. Article. Our big console. Article. My bed frame. Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it's, I mean, it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Could have said that.
So after JJ leaves, everyone's saying goodbye to Julia. Everyone's very sad. And then she immediately goes outside. And all of a sudden,
who's there in the van?
Mikey T.
Oh, my God. Her knight in shining armor that she tried to fight off with her arm when he tried to kick.
And by the way, I think
he's
still wearing the same T-shirt. Because it's like he has that one pale pink T-shirt that he's worn.
Well, the joke's on you because he has like seven of them. He just rotates.
You're probably right. My apologies. I apologize.
Oh, there was also the best lines of the night when they come back in and everyone is so excited except for Joe. And a producer just says to him, like slightly off camera, "Your face doesn't look happy." And he just says, "My face never looks happy." Yeah. Completely deadpan.
The first truth so he's told. Yeah.
Yeah. My boyfriend called it resting dick face.
Nice. And I really want that to be a thing.
I know. I think it should be a thing.
We should start hashtagging that.
Yeah. Resting dick face. Like, I'm going to embrace this. Thank you to Greg, Claire's boyfriend. I mean, immediately messaged Claire and was like, "Can you please tell Greg this is inspired?" Like, thank you.
Yeah, because it's the sort of now that I think about it, I feel like I know so many guys like that where I just am convinced that they're terrible people without having ever spoken to them.
People have resting dick face.
Exactly. People like Joe. But in this case, I think that Joe was really furious that Julia got to stay.
Yeah. And just embarrassed.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that maybe Samantha wouldn't have turned on him so quickly if she hadn't come back. Julia, that is.
Well, I think also, you know, the arrival of Nick certainly, certainly created some drama.
But I think Samantha could sense that the tide was turning against Joe and that he wouldn't be portrayed well.
Right.
She kept making comments like, "This looks bad for you."
That
when Chris Harrison said Julia was deceived, that is going to make you look bad.
Yeah.
So I felt that she was really kind of got her head a little too much in the game and was thinking about, how is this going to look? And then she made herself look even worse.
Yeah, no, she's definitely very focused on perception and has no clue that she's actually just making it worse for herself.
Yeah. And she has, like,
dead eyes.
Yes, she has dead eyes.
She does.
She has dead
eyes.
Everything
comes off as insincere. She just looks
dead
like a blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
It's very creepy.
Yeah. She might be from Stepford Wives. It might happen.
It concerns me that all of the guys, one by one, are just immediately throwing themselves at her feet. Because I'm like, what does this say about the modern man?
Yeah, well,
they want someone hot and dead behind the eyes.
Yeah, you know, it's a blank slate.
Yeah.
Tanner got a date card this week.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
we have to talk about that.
And he obviously gives it to Jade.
And they go to tequila.
Tequila.
Tequila was kind of a theme this episode.
Yeah. As if it's not every episode, but particularly in this episode.
Yeah.
So they're like, what are we going to do in Tequila, Mexico? And apparently the answer is learn to make tequila.
Murder an agave plant.
Yeah, they're like, we're learning how to make tequila. But all that I can see that they did is they just like hacked it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at least, I don't know if you remember previous seasons, all they ever did on dates was go to ruins. That's all they ever did because there was nothing else happening. So I appreciate the fact that the producers are trying to find new opportunities for them that don't involve walking around ruins. So
and at least it did give Tanner the opportunity to say it's fun to whack the old guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's they must have been the producers must have been feeling a little more creative after Caitlin's season because all they did was sit on the grass by ruins.
Yeah, or a beautiful castle. It's like, we're going to this farm, and now we're going to sit here.
Yeah. We're going to this totally different location, but it will look the same, and we'll be sitting on the grass.
And we'll probably do something like play hide and seek or have a picnic.
Yeah.
Yeah, or both. I mean, why choose? So after they learn to make tequila, as far as I can tell, they just, like,
just Tanner hacked away at one plant.
Oh God,
I think that was it.
And then they get a fantasy suite card.
Right. It's interesting that in this case, it was, you know, enjoy your room, whereas, and I'm skipping ahead a bit, in Julia and Mikey's case, it was, here are two keys or one, you know, so they didn't even get the option to stay in separate rooms.
What if Tanner felt uncomfortable?
Yeah, what if Tanner's like, I'm saving myself?
Maybe he's a born-again virgin.
You never know. It
maybe
could happen.
He's just a little bit shy. You know?
Yeah.
Well, apparently not. They seemed pretty eager.
Yeah. And they had the define the relationship talk.
BF, GF official.
Oh, I know. And Jade was not really giving him a whole lot at first.
Yeah.
He's pouring his heart out, and she's just like, silence, and then, yeah.
Well, I felt for Jade a little bit because I was like, I feel like he's trying to make this like a happy surprise. So he's starting out by implying that he's not into her anymore.
Right. He started off by saying, I'm really scared about this.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know how this will work in the real world.
He's trying to do a switcheroo.
Yeah. I was like, you're not going to make her feel comfortable being like, I love you.
Right. I liked her response, which was just, what are you afraid I'm going to do to you?
It's like, murder me in my sleep. I don't know.
Good thing
that's
we got the one suite.
Yeah, he was nervous about the fantasy suite.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, new arrival,
Nick Peterson.
What season was he from? Ashley?
He was from the same season as Kirk, I think.
I mean, it all blends together.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember who he was until somebody reminded me that he was the guy who said keep on Bachelor Pad.
Yeah, he was on Bachelor Pad and he screwed over whoever he was.
I want to say her name was, I mean, it's always an Ashley.
Yeah, I don't
even
remember.
Maybe Rebecca, who can say?
Yeah.
But
he was the selfish one who kept all the money.
And that was amazing.
Yeah.
That was like, God bless him, because, you know, that's what they all want to do. Nobody has the guts to do it. And he did.
But now he's here for love, not money.
He confuses me because in some shots he looks hot, and in others he looks like a really like wizened old.
It's true.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
It's like that Seinfeld
drawing.
Episode.
Yeah,
it's like such a huge divergence.
Yeah, he has some seriously bad angles.
Yeah,
but you know.
Ashley seemed into it. So he comes in. He wants to ask Samantha out. He's been talking to Samantha.
That was the greatest thing, is that he came in and immediately was like, yeah, Chris Harrison, we've totally been texting.
And he told everybody. He told Mikey. He's like, we were texting. We met up.
Yeah.
You know, no shame. And, you know, good for him.
Yeah.
I feel like no one told him that, like, you're not supposed to admit that.
That there's a pre-show period.
Yeah.
But I also think, just own it. It's completely reasonable that
like
you would be texting people. They all meet each other.
It's a big incestuous family.
Exactly.
So just, you know, don't pretend that it's not.
Yeah.
But obviously he gave, you know, he wanted Samantha to go out with him because he assumed she would.
And she clearly wanted to.
Yeah.
And she was like, she told him she would go out with him.
Yeah. Feared for her life a little bit with Joe.
They get back in front of everyone. He like pulled her aside and she was like, yeah, totally. I want to hang out. And then he's like, Samantha, will you go on this date with me?
She's like, no.
No.
No, sorry. I'm so flattered.
He's like, I'm surprised that she didn't say yes, mostly because she told me she would say yes.
That was great.
But he handled it quite well. You know, when Mikey told him, look, this is what happened, and she was also texting with Joe, you know, he didn't dwell on it or get all worked up. He just
said, okay. That's weird. I guess I'll ask someone else.
Yeah. The only other single person here, Ashley.
Yeah.
And they had a good time.
They drank so much.
I think they drank about 2 bottles of tequila.
Oh, but first, they were supposed to go to a private island.
right,
amazing.
But then there was a hurricane. They never seemed totally clear on this because
They could not understand,
they could not understand the
man's accent. They thought he was speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
The poor man was standing there going, Hurricane Carlos is coming. Yeah. The island is closed. And they were like,
Carlos, oh my gosh, is coming to get us?
We have a language barrier here. Yeah. We don't speak Spanish. And I was like, guys, that is not Spanish.
It's actually English.
He's actually speaking English right now. It's not how this works.
What was fantastic about that is that, you know, they're probably 12 producers standing right there. Any one of them could have said, guys, this is what's going on. There's a hurricane coming. But they didn't bother.
Why would they help out?
Sitting there thinking, yeah, this is gold.
Yeah. They're waiting until they get all the embarrassing cultural insensitivity on tape. And then they're like, okay, guys, let's go get you like 5 gallons of tequila. Yeah.
And we'll throw in a massage, but you'll be tanked.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then we had that very creative editing between crotch shots.
Oh, God. Okay.
Really? And what animal was
that?
It
was a
crow.
Much.
And a crow.
I was like getting a little angry.
What is happening?
I find it offensive that they continue to try to push the idea that Ashley's crazy when, to be honest, she really hasn't done anything that seems crazy at all.
She
likes animals.
A bird once in a while.
She likes animals. Yeah. And like, you know, when Dan was saying, oh, I saw some of her crazy come out and that's why I'm scared. It's like, why isn't it on tape? Show it to me.
Or that he was like, oh, I thought it was really crazy and scary that she thought there were cameras everywhere. And I was like, she's on a reality show. Yeah. Like, of course she thinks there are cameras everywhere. That is literally the opposite of crazy.
That is very rational.
And so I feel like they've played the, you know, talking to animals joke one too many times, and they need to just put it to rest for, you know, Claire and now Ashley.
Yeah,
they really overplayed it with Claire this season. It's like,
it was really funny last season because it was new, and Claire, you know, just had a really good sense of humor about it. But like, go back to do with Claire and Ashley. Yeah.
And just go back to the well maybe once or twice, not endlessly.
Yeah. Episode.
They were like, this worked, so let's just do it every time we can conceivably cut it in. And it's just,
or they were just disappointed that Ashley S. wasn't as nuts.
Yeah, so they had to up
although
the nuts.
She gave them a lot during this date because she was obliterated on tequila.
Understandably. Yeah. If you drink that much tequila, you're I was surprised that either of them were
standing up.
They were in a hot tub, wasted, making out, and then they go for another shot of tequila, and she says, cheers to me always being here for you as a sister. I was like, I love you, Ashley.
Don't use that word. That's gross.
Yeah, Nick's eyes were just like, wait. Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to toast to that. We just made out.
You're not my sister.
See, I feel like they both, you know, are relatively grounded people in terms of understanding what's weird and what's sane. But, you know, and all she had to eat was like a strawberry. So, of course, they're both just wasted.
I feel like the women on the show never appear to eat anything except for fruit.
Well, Ashley they show her eating quite a bit. She was stress eating when Jared, the day after, like, Jared dumped her, and they always show her eating.
She ate the rest of the show when she
hot dog or burger or something. And also on After Paradise, they showed all of them working out, and then Carly and Ashley I just eating chips.
Yeah.
And I was those are my girls.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Ashley I wrote a piece for us after The Bachelor about, you know, what she learned about herself from being on The Bachelor. And she said one of the things was you have to avoid The Bachelor 15 because there's food everywhere all the time. And there are many hours where you're just not doing anything.
Yeah, I've always wondered that because the women are in bikinis all the time.
Yeah.
And nothing feels grosser than being in a bikini and just like having just eaten a huge meal.
Chips,
but at the same time, like,
what else do you have to do?
Exactly. I would just eat out of boredom.
Me too.
Yeah.
And they can't, I don't even think they can bring books on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. So they're really.
I think on Bachelor in Paradise, it's looser.
Yeah. Obviously. They have cell phones.
Yeah.
They have a little more to do.
I don't know, books or something that would normally be in their luggage anyway. You know,
but they're like, not allowed to bring them, though, except for a Bible.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Or a journal so you can obsessively write, you know, Mrs. Love Crystals over and over again.
Write poetry.
Mrs. Christopher Sewells. Mrs. Christopher Sewells.
Dash, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so then we reach probably the climax of this week, at least in my mind, because Joe, it's Joe's birthday,
29,
ding, and he wants to celebrate by getting Sam back on his team. He feels like she's being a little weird, a little cold. So he throws himself a birthday party for two.
Which producer went out and got him the cake?
I wonder if Jorge made that. Oh,
it was such a sad cake. It looked like a lump of something with cherries on top. And then on the edge of the plate, it said, "Happy birthday, Joe," in chocolate frosting.
So sad. Do you remember it reminded me of previous season of The Bachelor, where one of the women on the first night, it was her birthday, and The Bachelor, I can't remember who it was, I feel like it was maybe Mesnick, he said, "Oh, I'm going to go get you something." She thought it was the first impression rose, and he came back with the saddest little cream puff cake. It was like
that.
A sad little cream puff with a candle in it, and she was like,
and then he gave someone else the first impression rose. Happy birthday.
Yeah,
I don't like you that much.
Yeah. So this was just as sad, if not sadder.
Oh, it was so sad.
And they kept just really cutting from Samantha's uninterested face to the sad cake.
So he's like, they show him sitting alone there. They show him putting the cake down, the cake that says
champagne.
"Happy birthday, Joe,"
the champagne.
And then Samantha finally comes in looking unenthusiastic.
Mm-mm. She is just not into him.
No. And they sit down.
Anymore.
She's like far away from him.
Well, yeah. I think she realized, she's like, "Joe is not popular.
Yeah.
I cannot attach myself to this
to this man." Yeah.
So she is looking at the cake just like, what is this?
"Well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
I'm dumping you."
Yeah. And then she tells him, she says that thing. It's like when Chris Harrison said Julia was deceived, that makes Joe look so bad, I thought. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say.
It's a really, really weird way to put it.
Yeah. It's a very specific way to put it.
She doesn't like drama. She doesn't want to be associated with drama. She's never had drama.
Although, as Carly points out, she's creating all the drama.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So,
if you say drama that many times to say that you're not into drama, you're probably creating the drama.
Anyone who says, "I'm so not into drama," is always into drama.
It's a classic negation. Like,
if you're not into drama.
"I'm not a racist, but."
You know. Exactly.
"I don't like drama, but."
"I don't like drama, but like somehow it's just always happening
so
around
crazy.
Me. It's probably because I'm so hot and like everyone's boyfriends."
So she kicks him to the curb.
Yeah, like it's really tough to watch.
Actually, though, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, but it was just like, because he kept trying to argue with her. And
I
was like, she's not into you.
Previously, he had tried to blackmail her into loving him.
Oh, that was later. And that was
this
one
is
of,
the
that
really
was disturbing.
Sad thing is that he keeps trying. So she like dumps him on his birthday.
Yep.
Before even sampling the Happy Birthday Joe cake that he produced for himself.
Yeah.
But then he thinks that this isn't a hard no. This is a negotiation.
It's
He's
part
like,
of
well,
the
maybe
chase.
If I try again another few times, she'll like me better.
Yeah.
And then he finally resorts to basically saying,
threatening her,
she can marry me and have my children, or she can get blackmailed.
Yeah.
Those are the options.
Yeah.
And
he
knows that
he's
nothing
like,
is
we
more
can
romantic
get all
lovey dovey,
or she can crash and burn.
Yeah.
He literally says the other option other than him is crashing and burning.
Yeah. And it's like, I think that's preferable at this point.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
I mean, that is sort of what she's doing.
Blackmailed into love.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I always want my romantic interests to force me to love them.
Yes.
And it's really a great window into, like, a certain kind of masculine love, which is, like, he no longer, like, respects her as a person.
But he's going to make her his bitch.
Because she's hot and he still wants her.
Yeah.
And she's out of his league. It was interesting because he did make some comments that were almost Ashley I-esque.
In terms of
masculine.
How sad they were.
Yeah, saying kind of, well, a girl like that would never love me. She would never fall in love with me. But instead of crying about it and kind of turning inward, he turned that anger and aggression outward and directed it back onto her. Well, she would never love me, so let me blackmail her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was huge. And I mean, even if he doesn't like her, he just wants to have a really hot wife, like the hottest wife he's ever seen.
He called her a trophy wife.
An 8-point buck on the wall.
That's repulsive.
That's a catch.
Like,
right
not
there.
Even a trophy that's just like a trophy, but one that he's actively killed.
An animal who he's killed and stuffed.
Oh, yep. God.
It was delightful. He should write a book.
So
he ignores. So Samantha ignores Joe.
Yes.
At the campfire. And is this when the big dumb lug comes down the stairs?
Oh, yeah, Justin.
Oh,
that is when Justin.
Yes.
Justin.
He seems like the most unintelligent person.
You guys have seen Rocky Horror? He's Rocky. He's Rocky. You know, who is the Frankenstein creation, who is basically a dumb blonde Adonis, who just every time he looks at the camera, all you hear is, ugh. And I mean, that's who Justin reminds me of. Seems like a nice boy, but just not too smart.
Well, he just really wants to be involved with a great conversator.
He does. And Sam's a great conversator.
Great conversator.
She totally is. Joe saw the same thing.
Yeah.
I want to know what it is about Samantha.
I mean, she's hot.
She's hot.
They're all hot.
But
she's a specific
she's
kind of hot.
Specifically, like, she's, you know, she's shockingly pretty. I mean, I think she's really
she's
stunning.
Striking.
Yeah, she's stunning.
And in a hot way, because there are people who are pretty or even beautiful, but she is hot.
Yeah.
I think it's all the upkeep.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
She's
but like the dark hair,
she
the dark hair, blue eyes.
Yeah,
very,
eyes.
Yeah, she looks like she.
Even
has
though her eyes are dead, the guys don't see it. You know, they're just like,
Justin,
she's pretty.
Can get lost in her.
Oh, he can.
That was so.
That's because
creepy.
There's nothing
she's
in there.
She's trying to speak, and he just interrupts her and says,
"You're fucking gorgeous.
You're fucking gorgeous. I'm lost in your eyes."
And she's like,
"Thanks."
I mean, I don't feel like she has anything much to say anyway.
No. God doesn't give with both hands. So.
Except to me, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, clearly.
So, but I know that you weren't talking about me, so it's fine. So I think that Justin and Samantha go on a date?
Well, Joe is Justin's friend, and he says that, you know, I'm excited Justin's here. I'm going to tell him not to date Samantha, and actually, I might tell him to talk me up to Samantha. And of course, Justin's, the first thing he does is make a beeline for Samantha and ask her on a date.
Yeah.
And she says yes, I believe.
Yeah, she does.
We don't see the date.
We don't see
the date. No, because that's where we left off.
Yeah, but that was kind of weird because Joe has, like, made it his business to methodically screw over everyone else in his own interest. But he, like, very genuinely and purely expects everyone else to selflessly do what's right for him.
Again, sociopath.
Yeah, but it's just, like, it's also really stupid.
Well, and just narcissistic.
Yeah, he has issues.
Yeah, I think his reaction to Sam going on a date with Justin is just, fuck.
Yeah. And I think, I think we were left off with the promise of him kind of freaking out.
Oh, yeah. Ashley says something like, he's going to go straight Kentucky crazy.
That's not any kind of crazy. Yeah. That's Kentucky crazy.
And, like, more so than he has been already.
Right.
They also have a little bit of discussion about how Sam is some evil man controlling genius.
Yeah.
Tanner is very obsessed with her being the chess master.
I don't like this thing where, like, now that Sam has been revealed to be really evil,
like,
too,
Joe is fine.
They all feel sorry for Joe. No, he's still terrible.
I don't think they necessarily feel sorry for him. I mean, Dan was saying, you know, I do want to see him get heartbroken. And then after Paradise last night when he was on and Joe was apologizing and sort of mimicking the human emotion of remorse and, like, I'm really sorry about this. I mean, he's clearly not sorry.
Oh, no.
But the audience voted that they don't buy his apology. And, you know, but they did also vote that Samantha was more at fault than he was.
Yeah.
See, this
they believed
is,
him over.
And that was.
Well, I think what's working against her is that she hasn't once said.
Yeah, she continues.
Yeah, I kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I
also,
heard
like,
Julia.
She is still lying. Like, we know that she
I mean, she's still, like, tweeting, saying, you know, I don't cause drama or whatever.
So. Yeah, and we know that's a lie. Like, Joe has done all these horrible things, but I believe his story because his story makes him look awful.
Yeah.
His story is like, I schemed and I lied and I fucked all
terrible.
These people over.
And he says it.
Yeah. I don't believe that he's sorry, I think he's a bad person.
Yeah, his tweet to Julia, which she called him out about.
Oh, that was amazing.
What did he say to her?
She had tweeted something about, like, thanks for coming back, Mikey, like, thanks for the great date or something with, you know, some Instagram photo. He quoted her tweet and then just said, I thought you liked Jonathan, which is just the most obnoxious shit. And she called him out last night and he played so dumb. He's like, I was just confused because I thought you liked Jonathan. And she just stared at him and was like,
that makes no
sense. Okay, well, that was confusing.
Yeah. She was like, I did like Jonathan, but I didn't think that we had that
also, she
romantic.
Was like, I dumped him for you,
yeah.
which you knew.
Right.
So obviously she didn't like him that much.
Yeah. It was very, because he was trying to say, you know, ever since I came back, I just felt so bad. And I've been thinking about it every night. And I was like, when is someone going to point out that his Twitter is a cesspool?
Yeah, of him just hating on everybody.
Yeah, he quoted my tweet last week, which I hadn't even tagged him in, and about our podcast, and said that he fell asleep trying to listen to it. Yeah. Which I kind of take as a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a soothing voice.
Yeah. Just really relax people. Yeah. I just keep waiting for him to actually crack.
Yeah.
It's going to happen soon.
On the edge.
Real quick, Julia and Mikey.
Oh, right. They go
Mikey,
on a date.
Mikey gets a date card. They go on a date. I really wanted Mikey to just be like, so, Samantha, you want to stay with me?
That would have been amazing.
Oh, my God.
Best episode ever.
Yeah.
So they go somewhere that they think is going to be really romantic.
Guadalajara.
And they watch Mexican wrestling.
Which was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
For Mikey, that is like super romantic. Yeah.
But then they get in the ring.
Yeah.
It seemed like the right level of romantic for them.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they have the option of a fantasy suite, as we said.
Yes.
Of course they take it.
Obviously they take it.
I mean, and Mikey was like, I'm a man.
Yeah,
of course I want to go.
I kind of loved how Julia was like, well, would that make you uncomfortable? Yeah. He's like, well, I'm a man. How could a man be uncomfortable?
We learned so much about Mikey's gender identity this week.
Oh, I know.
Strong.
Yeah.
Although
also deep down, he's really a woman because a lot of things bother him.
Like getting his hair wet.
Salt water. Getting his hair
wet. Yeah, he was upset that the rain was messing with his hair.
Bugs. Having a messy car.
He's a real lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I appreciate that he's sort of in touch with his feminine side and not afraid to talk about it.
And that he can identify that as his feminine side. Because I, too, am terrified of salt water.
Yeah.
Well, and it's
like
because you're a woman.
And it's because I'm a woman.
Yeah, I don't like messy things. And then, you know, of course, they do the fantasy suite. And it doesn't look like, you know, they either slept in the same bed or what. It didn't look like it was a particularly like
hot and heavy
evening, but it seemed like they had a nice, you know, evening, and then they had breakfast in bed.
I think they probably just end up being very good friends who fooled around a couple times.
Yeah, it was like the Cody and Michelle money situation.
They seem like a cute, nice couple.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Kirk took Carly fishing. Sweet.
I like them.
I like them, too. I had no idea she was related to Naked Zach.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
How did I not know that?
I realized that during Chris's season.
I didn't realize that. I just never made the connection. Imagine how their mother feels.
I know.
Two of her children have gone on reality dating shows more than once.
I feel like to produce two children like that, you have to be that kind of family. Like
maybe she's proud.
She was previously a cruise ship singer, this Carly. So I feel like the family is a little like.
Oh, now I have that song in my head. My name is Carly.
Oh,
okay. Nice to meet you. Sorry, sorry.
I successfully scrubbed that from my mind, and now it's back.
But I do enjoy Carly and Kirk.
Yeah, they're cute.
And I have to say that I actually feel a little bit more connected to seeing relationships form on Bachelor in Paradise than I do on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Because there's something that feels very almost summer camp about it to me. Like they're around each other 24/7.
They have nothing to do. There's no.
I buy it a little more that you might have a quick connection with someone.
Yeah.
And you know she's in love because she's like, Kirk is the hottest guy here. And it's like,
and
no, he's not.
You have some love.
No, he's not.
On.
So she totally.
Sweet.
And that's what's so cute about it.
Finally, the biggest news out of this week for Bachelor Nation, they announced The Bachelor Live on After Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so furious.
The redirect.
And then he was so smug about it. He was like, we just broke Twitter. I was like, shut up,
my
Chris
stomach literally dropped. Like, it, you know, not literally, figuratively dropped when Nick showed up.
See, mine went the other direction. Yeah. I think our stomachs cancel each other out.
I felt I had a visceral reaction when Nick was there. I was like, oh, my God, no.
No, I was like, this is definitely a misdirect.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Because everyone knew it was going to be Ben
H. Of course. Everyone knew.
But sweet 26-year-old church-going.
It's going to be so boring. I'm already bored.
But
like,
you know what?
He came out and he was like, so I like to work out at lunchtime and I go to church. And I'm like, I don't care.
I know. I almost made the headline of my post, Boring White Man Becomes Bachelor. But on the other hand,
twist.
Yeah, shocking development. On the other hand, though, he did display hints of a sense of humor on Caitlyn's season. I had to go back and look at some of the things. You know, he like his the sex ed date was cute, and he was actually kind of funny about that. I liked the fact that he sort of called her out about the whole Sean situation without being confrontational. He just said, "What's going on here? Am I wasting my time?" And
yeah, Ben H it seems like a good guy. I'm cautiously optimistic. It could go one of two ways. I think it could either go Chris Sewell's or it could go Sean Lowe.
And I'm hoping
it goes Sean.
Yeah,
I hope
that
so too.
Sean seemed boring, and then he turned out to have a sense of humor and was actually charming and had a good sense of who he actually wanted to date.
And he was like one of the only Bachelors I've ever watched a whole season and still wanted him to be happy at the end.
Yeah.
Usually it goes like, whoa.
You're like, whatever, just die.
I hate you by the end.
I hope that you're unhappy by the end. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on this week. It's been really great having you.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
One, you do you, bro. Two, that's questionable. Three, not cool, people. Four, the 1950s are back. Five, gender equality is straight up dead.
So as usual, lots of feminism fails this week. Even better, we got Mikey back. So now we have Joe and Mikey. It was a bonanza. So to start things off, with the end of the episode, but the lower end of the spectrum, Mikey tells us he thinks he's a woman deep down because a lot of things bother him, like salt water and messy cars. We're giving that a 3 because that's not a woman thing, but I mean, he didn't mean harm.
And then earlier on, Mikey says he'd totally be comfortable spending the night with Juliet because he's a man. And obviously all men feel the same things about sex all the time. Womp womp. We're going to give that a 3. Come on, Mikey.
And then Carly of Poor Julia Leaving Paradise says, she's a single mom. I don't know where she's going to get another opportunity, which is true because, as we all know, single moms do not date anywhere other than reality television. We're giving that a 4 because no one says that about any of the single dads on the show, and it's infuriating.
And then, of course, we get to Joe. Oh, Joe. Joe makes a comment about Sam. Sam is a trophy wife to me, like an 8-point buck on the wall, which is just one of the more repulsive comments he's made, which is saying a lot because he's made a lot of really crazy-ass comments. We're going to give that a 5. Sorry, no woman should be compared to an animal you have killed and stuffed and hung on your wall.
And just as gross, Joe's go-to insult, especially of the men in the house, is, I made him my bitch. That will be a 5. Calling someone essentially a woman is not an appropriate insult.
And now our tweet of the week. It was hard to choose this week, but our best tweet comes from Iris Blasey, at Iris Blasey. Every time a Bachelor contestant says, supposedly, an angel loses its wings. We feel you, Iris.
And for our quote of the week, we had such an abundance of choices, but we're going to leave you with this one with apologies to our listeners who don't speak Spanish. Hurricane Carlos is coming. The island is closed. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our producer, Caitlin Bogucki, and our audio engineer, Brad Shannon.
And of course, thanks to our guest, Kristen Baldwin. Please let us know what you think of the show. You'll find us on Twitter at Emma Lady Rose and at Claire E. Fallon. You can also send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
And if you liked the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to leave us a rating or comment wherever you subscribe. It's always the best part of our day. Plus, it helps other people discover our show.
This is Emma Gray and Claire Fallon. We'll talk to you next week after another 4 hours of paradise. God help us. Thanks for listening.
Shh. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.